You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
May the 22nd, 2020, President Trump, responsible for thousands of COVID-19 deaths. Thousands. Because he did not wear a mask during a visit to a Ford plant in Michigan. Thousands died and more will die. Now, of course, that's not true. It is not at all true. The president did visit a Ford plant in Michigan. He was photographed walking around the plant without a mask on. And you would have thought clearly that he was the one responsible for all the deaths in Michigan and elsewhere. Wait a minute. Did anyone actually die because Trump was not wearing a mask in Michigan or any other place where he is making a speech or an address? Did anyone, can you show me any linkage between anyone dying and Trump with no mask? Second question, did anyone die because New York Governor Cuomo forced nursing homes to take COVID patients? That is a real cause and effect, which is ignored by the mainstream media, obviously. Blue state leaders and Dems still blaming Trump for anything that goes wrong. He's not doing enough. He did it too late. He's doing too much. We want control. No, we don't. Either way, blame Trump. And they continue looking for any reason to keep states closed down. You should probably, in many cases, wear a mask, but that's your decision. The president was doing it when he was in closed meetings and so forth behind closed doors and where there are no cameras. We're told he was. But the bottom line is he did not want to wear a mask while touring the plant. He wanted to appear confident, obviously, and he is closely monitored by the doctors. Not every American has that kind of oversight, obviously, so you need to take some consideration for yourself. But if you listen to the blue state leaders and the other Dems of the Main Street media, any deaths that come forward now is because Trump did not wear a mask. In the meantime, while they all try to keep the states closed, the president said, no, we need to turn things around now.
Democrat governors, I think they think it's good politics to keep it closed. But what are they doing? They're hurting themselves. I don't think it is good politics. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting their state. And it's not good. So I think you're going to see pretty much people are going to, I think they're being forced to open, frankly. The people want to get out. You'll break the country if you don't.
That is true, and we're seeing that on the economic scale. Worldwide infections, 5.1 million. Deaths approaching 334,000. U.S., 1.6 million infections. Deaths, 95,000. And, of course, we heard from Pelosi and Schumer the other day, as we hit that reckoning number of, they say, of 100,000 deaths, we should lower flags across the nation in honor of that 100,000 mark. I told you then, in my opinion, that that decision and that move to drop the flags at the 100,000 mark would be used as a political weapon against Trump. Say, every time you see those flags, you know they're down because we had 100,000 deaths. And who was the leader? Trump. We're coming up on Memorial Day weekend. And yesterday, President Trump said he would order flags to have staff, and he would do so to memorialize Americans lost to the virus, as he is looking at it as a war. But here's my point, and I want you to keep this in mind. This is Memorial Day weekend where we would have flags at half staff in many cases anyway, and for Monday. And yes, we are sorry to see the loss we've had because of this virus. But the Dems and mainstream media, they want you every time you look at those flags not to remember those lost by the wars and veterans, not to think of those lost to this crisis unless you're going to blame Trump. He made the decision. I would have preferred he'd not do it until Memorial Day. But that's all right. It's done. Just keep in mind they will try to use it as a political weapon. Coming up, we've got East-West Coast reports from the East New York City area, former Congressman John LaBoutière. Also later from the West L.A. Hollywood, international attorney, book author James Hurston. They'll be joining us with their views on what's happening with coronavirus in their respective coasts. And this story, Vice President Joe Biden has a message particularly for black Americans. Black Americans, are you listening? Vice President Biden says, if you are a black American, this is Vice President Biden, not me. Vice President Biden saying, if you're a black American, you don't vote for him, you are not really black. Bang. We'll get into that story. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is the president no longer welcome in Michigan?
Well, I will say, speaking on behalf of my department and my office, that's right. That's exactly right. The president is like a petulant child who refuses to follow the rules. And I have to say, this is no joke. I mean, you just reported that 93,000 people have died in the United States. He's in a county right now where over 100 people have died. I am 20 minutes away from him in Wayne County, where we've had over 2,300 people die. This is not a joke. And he's conveying the worst possible message.
That is Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, Democrat, responding to a setup question by Wolf Blitzer of CNN. Is it correct the president is no longer welcome in your state? That's correct. That's correct, because he's a petulant child. Because he went to the Ford Motor Plant in Michigan and did not, one of them, and did not wear a mask when he was being photographed with various workers. And you heard her cite the number of deaths across the nation and in her own state in that particular county. The linkage is clear. Trump is to blame for those deaths because he's walking around without a mask. And then, of course, the mainstream media loves to jump on that story. With what we have factually in front of us, deaths and what's happened and where we are, they are obsessing over the fact he did not wear a mask. And Trump at one point said, yeah, I'm not going to wear it because it's just going to set the main media off, so I'm not going to wear it. Let them make their noise over it. And they're doing it. They're doing it. They did wall-to-wall coverage yesterday, not for the president visiting, lifting hope, and praising workers and so forth, not for any part of that, not for the dire situation we have with COVID-19, but because Trump was not wearing a mask. And, of course, an insider inside CNN, is quoted by Fox News as saying, while Trump should have worn it, the network is putting, quote, undue emphasis on what is not important. I don't know why they focus on things like this when there are certainly more important things to focus on. That's apparently, according to an insider at CNN, giving a statement to Fox News. He suggested if Trump found the cure for the virus without wearing a mask, him not wearing a mask would still be the story on the network, and that is true. You just heard Wolf Blitzer set it up in an interview with the Michigan Attorney General. And then later, his colleague Anderson Cooper did the same thing, who had earlier this week also shamed Trump for not wearing a mask, dedicating much of his town hall meeting last night to the importance of wearing a mask, and of course, pointing out, here's the president, he's not doing it. Then you get Cuomo, host Chris Cuomo, and Don Lemon together. Cuomo saying, this isn't about the press, this is about you, it's about the country. Great example, the president stepping on his own headline. He said, this is supposed to be about Ford making ventilators, showing America how far we've come, how fast, and said he got caught up with the masked stuff and other side issues. He got caught up with it? The president got caught up with it? It looks to me like you guys are feasting on it. And Lemon's response is, nothing but excuses. Nothing but excuses. Some in this administration have forgotten that they work for the American people. This president certainly has forgotten. No, maybe he's never thought that he works for the American people. Oh, and don't leave out their chief political anchor, Jake Tapper. Again, these are not correspondents. They act like it. They want you to believe they're journalists, but they are commentators, analysts. Jake Tapper, another example. He says, it seems like an odd thing to worry about, given the fact that reporters have been relaying health officials think it'd be a great idea of all leaders across the country to wear them in public. I don't know why you would not want that image out there. CNN, according to data pulled together by a media source, spent nearly 102 minutes yesterday, 102 minutes, dwarfing the 15 minutes the network dedicated the entire week to that nursing home controversy involving Democrat New York Governor Cuomo. 102 minutes on Trump not wearing a mask, 15 minutes to Cuomo and his nursing home scandal. How do you get any balance in that? How do you get a clear understanding of what's going on? You don't. The whole idea is, one, give a pass to Cuomo because he's a liberal. And, of course, attack Trump because he's not and because he's Trump. And even when Cuomo, the New York governor, is on CNN, they do everything they can to, you know, make sure he's not a victim. I want to remind you again on the details of that story. More than 4,300, as last report, recovering coronavirus patients were sent to New York's nursing homes throughout the state because the governor had issued a statement that if you have a COVID-19 patient at your door, you must admit them. You must give them a bed inside your nursing home. You have to do that. Was it March 25 he came out with that? A couple weeks later, he suddenly decided to reverse it. And you know what he's saying now? Well, the nursing home should have known that, you know, you do what's best for your facility. You gave them an order. You gave them a directive from the state. You have to take them. And now, of course, he wants to pass the buck again, saying, well, as a nursing home supervisor, you should have made a decision there. He said any nursing home could just say, I can't handle a COVID person. But his March 25th order didn't specify how homes could refuse, not one time. It simply said you must put them in. There's a guy whose father died of COVID-19 at one of those homes. He said it was a single, dumbest decision anyone could make if they want to kill people. He actually pulled his 88-year-old father out of a Brooklyn nursing home where more than 50 had died, but later his father died at home. Can you blame Cuomo for each and every death inside the nursing home at that point? You really can't, but I want to point out to you, his directive put them into a hotbed of the virus and made them certainly vulnerable. But that's not the issue for him. It's not the issue for the mainstream media and other leftist governors. The issue is Donald Trump is not wearing a mask when we think he should. And when Cuomo did appear on CNN, you know what they did? He was addressed again, interviewed by his brother, Chris Cuomo. They didn't talk about it. They did a 25-minute sit-down Wednesday night, and Chris Cuomo made no mention of that growing death toll. And now there are calls for a federal investigation of what happened in New York. But Chris Cuomo simply wanted to joke around with him. 25 minutes. In fact, Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, has been interviewed on CNN at least 20 times since March 8th. 20 times. His younger brother conducting 10 of them. And they never deal with the issue. Of course, everyone is saying we need more stimulus money to get this country back. And, of course, the point is we probably do, but under what conditions, and have we properly used the money that's already been out there? To that extent, again, the left comes on the attack. First of all, they want all of their Green Deal plan in place. That's to be paid by stimulus money. They want money for illegals. And eventually they'll get around to the American public. But they will put forth a storyline that we're concerned about Americans. When they're not. When they're not. In fact, the more you suffer, the happier they are, because you can blame it on Trump. Witness this. Joy Behar from The View talking to Senator Schumer.
Mitch McConnell says it's dead on arrival. It's dead on arrival. And that he doesn't see an immediate need for more stimulus. Okay? So how are you going to help people who need it? What are you going to do?
Right. Well, he's in an alternative universe, unfortunately. An immediate need. When you look at the TV stations and the news and you see miles of people lined up in cars to go to food pantries, and then the news media interviews them and they say, I've never had to do this before, but I need to feed my family.
Yeah, it's desperate. It is for many people. But again, the Democrats want to politicize it. And they want more money, more gimme, 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 gimme. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin has said we will probably need to have another bill. But how and when, and again, how it's going to be overseen, and what can we correct from our previous mistakes? Senator Mitch McConnell, of course, as Behar was quoting, referenced that $3 trillion fantasy bill sent over by Pelosi, saying it's dead on arrival, and she's joking and mocking it. Well, Senator McConnell says you have to recognize, and we do recognize, what the reality is.
We know these are desperate times as a result of the pandemic. The CARES Act, which we passed a month or so ago on a bipartisan basis, only about half of that money's gone out yet. I think there's a high likelihood we will do another rescue package. But we need to be able to measure the impact of what we've already done, what we did right, what we did wrong, correct that. And we're not quite ready to intelligently lay down the next step. But it's not too far off.
But the Democrats don't want an intelligent approach. They want an emotional approach. Just dump the money across the country. Just throw it everywhere. We'll figure out later who got it, who didn't get it, and how it was used, if it was abused. And as you heard Senator McConnell say, there's a lot of money that still has not gone out because it's been a massive undertaking. And he says on the future bills coming up, when we look at the future bills that we're going to be seeing, he said, when you get to that consideration, as I said, even he's admitted, and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, that we're going to need another stimulus round. But Senator McConnell says the Democrats and what they're expecting, that ain't going to happen.
Let me tell you what it won't be. It won't be a $3 trillion left-wing wish list that passed the House that almost couldn't get all the Democrats to vote for, that Senator Schumer's in favor of. That's not going to pass the Senate, not going to become law. We need to work smart here. Help the people who are desperately in need. Try to save as many jobs as possible and begin to open up the states, which are decisions by the governors that are going on all over America now, and get this economy growing again.
Absolutely. That's what we need. And, of course, in the blue states, they continue to put the restrictions on the people, the businesses, dictating well beyond probably the need at this point. And every one of those states did start hollering, we need more federal help, all the tax dollars we lost because businesses are closed. It's a circle that they thrive in. They really do. The next package, McConnell's made it clear it's not going to include enhanced employment benefits. Now, the first round had $600 a week on top of unemployment benefits. On top of unemployment benefits. He said that's not going to happen this time. And in fact, CNN actually did a story, believe it or not, at least on their Facebook page, talking about a woman who was making more now than when she was employed. And she's making it because of stimulus money and the unemployment benefits put together. And for that reason, Senator McConnell says that is not going to be the future.
Well, the problem was by paying people more not to work than to work, it's making it difficult to get people back to work. You can understand that. We do need to continue unemployment insurance. It's extremely important at a time like this. But to pay people more not to work than to work doesn't encourage resuming your job. And that will end in July. And we think that in order to create jobs, we need to incentivize people to go back to work, not encourage them to stay home.
Absolutely. And the new survey says, according to this survey source, the majority of Americans do not provide or support providing taxpayer-funded federal relief to illegals during this. The Pew Research study finds Americans by a majority do not want the money going to illegal aliens. That's, again, part of the wish list from the Democrats. We'll take a break. When we come back, the fight and arguments over hydroxy continue. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness. One client at a time. Check it out. RedFitnessLounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I got to tell you, first of all, I was just thinking, I've probably been going 100 plus miles an hour since the beginning of the program. I get fired up on these days every day, but in particular today, I got so much I'm trying to cram in for you. So thank you for holding with me. I don't think I'm as fast as Ben Shapiro, though. I think I go a little slower than that. But at the same time, there's so much I want to put in front of you. Maybe I do need another hour. So, again, the fight continues against using hydroxychloroquine with or without an antibiotic to fight COVID-19, despite numerous reports that it is helpful, despite Dr. Mark Siegel, a Fox News analyst, saying that, hey, help save my father, despite numerous cases coming forward and said it helped save me. And, of course, since the president's on it, now everybody says, oh, it's got to be bad. Now there's a new study. Another study, this is coming from MedPage Today, or is that the one that just quoted it? Let me see. This is a study out of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And they found a huge study, according to the headline, huge study throws cold water on COVID-19. No support for continued use seen in analysis of 15,000 patients. Well, that's a pretty big group. Now, they say the 15,000 receiving it were about twice as likely to die compared to controls who did not receive the various agents. They say the drug was associated with a higher risk of arrhythmia. We talked about that before for many people. And yet, while they're in the process of dismissing all of this, I'm not going to spend all the time going through all the details, but it comes down to one little piece here. Previous small-scale studies have failed to identify robust evidence of a benefit. All right, robust evidence. And larger randomized controlled trials are not yet completed. Okay. And then what's your final belief? Well, according to this doctor at the Heart Center University in Zurich says, however, we know from our study the chance that these medications improve outcomes with COVID-19 is quite low. Well, that doesn't say it won't help. And they're acknowledging in their survey, they said, we did adjust for demographic favors and factors such as things like, did the patient already have cardiovascular disease, diabetes, lung disease, smoking? In most cases, COVID-19 is maybe a last chance opportunity. And if they're already on their deathbed, maybe nothing was going to help. I don't know. And they don't either. That's the point. They don't know either. And they say the greatest risk is the fact that you might have heart arrhythmia. Well, you got a heart problem, yeah, you shouldn't. And if you're going to do it at all, it should be under a doctor. And meanwhile, Italy is confirming 99% of those who died from COVID-19 had previous medical conditions. They had other medical conditions before they got hit with COVID-19. 99%, 75% had high blood pressure, 35% diabetes, a third had heart disease. And yet we have so many of those still listed as COVID-19 deaths. Because it helps to inflate the numbers, make look how bad it is. You can't deny the situation is real, especially in some parts, especially in the New York City area. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by former U.S. Congressman from New York, John LaBoutière. He lives 20 miles from downtown Manhattan. Get his latest take on what's happening on the East Coast. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven and a...
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the second hour, we'll be switching to a guest on the West Coast, James Herson, international author, bookseller, and, of course, watching over cultural events as well and the COVID case for us in the L.A. Hollywood area. But for the East Coast Report, here's former U.S. Congressman from New York, John LaBoutière. John, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Larry, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, and that's my first question for you. How are you and your health and those around you?
Thank God everybody's okay, and I'm on Long Island outside Manhattan, and we just got the word from Governor Cuomo that we probably will start reopening next week, which is good news.
And by reopening, what's he got in mind to reopen? Do you know? I mean, it's probably a litany of items. I don't mean to pin you down on any details if you don't have them.
Well, it's phased. You know, it's phased. They have five categories that can reopen one phase after another. So essential things that aren't already open will open next week. And then some sports things, some parks will open and beaches will open, but always with social distancing and masks and all that. But bit by bit, I think in June, where I live, we'll reopen. Now, I have to tell you, I think even with reopening, there are going to be things like restaurants that aren't going to ever, not now, are not going to go back to full capacity, because I don't think there'll be customers who want to go in and sit in a crowded restaurant.
Well, in fact, some states have regs, in fact, that you can't open more than, can't seat more than 50% your normal. In other words, and the question then is, can a restaurant owner operate if that's, he's got a limit even how many he could serve?
I know. Well, that's huge. I've seen some dire numbers on the news, anywhere low 25 up to as high as 80% of restaurants in America could go bankrupt because of this thing.
John, when you look at what happened with Georgia, when Georgia was one of the first states opening up, then Florida, so many were saying it's going to be a bloodbath, we have bodies everywhere, and we're weeks into this now, and we have not seen that kind of increase, many of those states. That, of course, is giving, I guess, credibility for New York, other blue states to begin to open, but they've kept it closed and under more restrictions for a longer time than I think they should have.
I don't know about, because it's still raging here. I mean, we're still having over 150 people a day dying here. So they brought that down from 1,000 a day. So it has worked. Now, I saw a graph this morning on NBC News about Georgia that despite the reopening in Georgia, people aren't going back. They're not going. They're allowed to, but they're not going.
Right, right.
That's the thing that no one ever talks about, is people are smart. They're scared to death of this, getting this virus. And so they're not going to restaurants, like we just talked about. They're not going to go to movie theaters and things until they feel that it's safe. No matter what a governor says, oh, it's open, go ahead. People say, well, I'm not risking my life, especially people, you know, over 50 years old.
To that point, with what you've had with your nursing homes and the directive issued by the governor March 25th, and they were citing more than 4,300 virus patients were sent into nursing homes on his directive, and now he's saying, well, the nursing homes could have turned them away, and they've had, what I think at last I saw, maybe 20 to 25% of all deaths in your state inside nursing homes. Is anybody really going to make noise over there? I see some trying to, but I watch the mainstream coverage at CNN. They get on there and joke and talk to them about anything other than that issue.
Well, and believe me, that's going to get talked about in the long run. I was never quite sure what was happening with that, and I still am not sure. I have a feeling what it was they were people who were already in nursing homes who were getting sick were being sent to the hospital. And when the hospital felt they had done all they could for the people, they then sent them back to the nursing home that from whence they came. Now, that, to me, is somewhat defensible. I mean, that's where the people live. What else are you going to do with them? But I don't know that that's what happened.
Well,
it's unclear.
If they did that, obviously they're putting them back into a vulnerable population. I mean, they've been wanting to open jail cells and let folks out of jail because there might be a chance of COVID-19, so we don't want them all packed in one area. And yet they're taking the elderly and sending them nursing homes. And the Governor Cuomo is now saying, well, the nursing homes could have rejected them. Now he tells them that. But aside from that,
I don't know. It's very bad.
Aside from that, Minnesota has a higher rate. They have 81% of their deaths in their state apparently linked to nursing homes. So it's not just New York. Now, all the noise yesterday, President Trump going to the Ford plant in Michigan, all the noise, 100-plus minutes on CNN last night, about there he was, no mask. In other words, if you listen to that, Trump is killing people because he's not wearing a mask while he's doing some of these events.
Well, look, my only thing is he did wear a mask in the back, and we have a picture of him in the mask. He just didn't wear it in front of the media, and he said, his own words. He said, I'm not wearing it just to get you in the media upset. Here's the thing, though. His corona task force, headed up by the vice president, has basically said it's the policy of the country that when we're out in public, we wear a mask. Everybody's supposed to wear a mask. And yet the president doesn't do that. Now, I think just for a leader, do what I do, not what I say, is the way to lead. Got to lead by example. I was thinking of this morning. Let's take the last three Republican presidents, Reagan, the first Bush, and the second Bush. Everything else is the same, the pandemic and all, but their president would they be wearing a mask? And I have absolutely no doubt they would. All of them were raised to believe that you listen to authority, you lead by example. And then we get Trump, who won't wear it. And I think he's like snubbing his nose at his own position as president and at authority in general. And I think it's a shame. And it's one of the reasons he's hovering at 40% in the polls, when most of these governors are like at 78% in their state, because they are doing, they're leading the right way.
I don't have a problem with him the way he was doing it. I agree, in these closed environments for him and others. I mean, I do the same thing. If I go into a store, I'll put a mask on. If I go to my doctor's office, they want me to wear a mask, I'm going to wear it. Mainly, I do it for the comfort of other people, not so much myself. But otherwise, I don't drive around my car with a mask on. I don't sit
well,
here. I don't sit here
don't
in the front of the microphone. No,
car.
I know that. But the point is, we're so many are thinking, oh, it's just be ever constant. Listen, I need to get another subject because I need to give you a chance to have, take some credit on this as it stands now. You told us the other day that the judge, a couple weeks ago now, Judge Emmett Smith, would not immediately...
Emmett Smith was the judge on the Cowboys.
Right, I know. as soon as I said that, I think I made a misstatement. Thanks for catching me, John. That's the first mistake this year. I got this deep into it, at least being caught.
You sound like Trump. That's your first mistake.
That's right. That's right, by God. Get the tape and prove otherwise. Anyway, your view was that he would fight the DOJ dismissing the Flynn case. Well, sure enough, he did. Yep. He said, I want other lawyers, amicus curiae, to come in and support the case as why we should keep him prosecuted and in jail. You were right, John.
No, he's not in jail. No, Flynn's not in jail.
No, but to put him, in jail. But to put him in jail and hold the charges.
Well, the judge just, he appointed a former federal judge, Gleason,
Democrat,
to come and argue in front of him against the Justice Department position, the current Justice Department position. Now, a three-judge appeals court yesterday,
right,
who's above Judge Sullivan, came down on him and said, you've got to justify what you're doing here. We've been challenged, and we want a hearing to hear about this. But the thing is not over, I'm telling you, because it's so extraordinary that he would have been prosecuted and pled guilty twice under oath, three times in front of two different federal judges. And that case is done other than sentencing. And for the Justice Department then to show up and say, you know what, on second thought, we want to get rid of the whole thing.
John, you don't say, you're not going to accept the argument that he was never investigated for a real crime. There was no real crime, and he can't plead guilty to if there was no crime. You're not going to accept that.
Well, I might accept it if once this hearing takes place and see what this federal judge says. But as he's asked this Judge Gleason to also explore the possibility that if no crime took place, then did General Flynn commit perjury when he pled guilty in front of the judge under oath?
Well, my understanding, and we're wrapping up, but my quick understanding is that you can't be pleading guilty to perjury anyway unless you're under oath, and he was not under oath.
When you are in federal court and you're entering a plea.
Oh, the plea. Okay, I thought you were talking about what he's talking about to the agents. All right.
No, so they're looking at, if you want to say he didn't lie to the feds, but he pled guilty to it in court. He was under oath in court when he said he lied.
Okay. Convict him for saying, listen, we're running out of time. I don't want to shortchange you. Very quickly again. I do wish you and all yours the very best and this Memorial weekend and reopening New York. We're all glad to see that happen.
Thank you, Larry. Hopefully we'll be open the next time you and I talk.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks again,
all right,
John. You bet.
Happy Memorial Day.
You too, sir. John LaBoutière out of New York, former U.S. Congressman. Always insightful, always glad to have his opinion, and obviously disagreements from time to time. And then the voting issue fraud coming up.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must just to play them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like it. Sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Democrats are making their push again, a big push to make sure illegal immigrants get money from the stimulus packages. Again, it's not a concern for Americans. Get money in various ways to illegal immigrants and using the stimulus dollars to do so. That's really going to help you Americans, isn't it? In the meantime, when it comes to voting already, because that's their other reason behind, you know, basically doing what they can to support illegal aliens, because they're pretty sure that they'll end up voting for them. That's their hope anyway. Creating voter fraud. We don't know how many voted illegally last time around in California, but yet we continue to see evidences of voter fraud involving Democrats. Yes, Republicans have been found guilty of it occasionally as well, and I've reported on those. But let me use some of the latest, one of them coming out just yesterday. South Carolina election ballots, ending up in Maryland. And apparently this isn't the first issue they've had, the state had, with that particular company delivering the ballots to them. 3 weeks before the June 9 primary for state and local seats, South Carolina issuing 20% more absentee ballots in the total for the 2018 primary. And now we find a bunch of them ended up going to another state, Maryland. A blue state. Well, I wonder what would happen there. And then we got the Philadelphia elections judge, Democrat elections judge, pleading guilty for accepting bribes so he could cast fraudulent ballots and certify false voting results in primary elections in Philadelphia. Here's what he said he did. Yeah, I admit I took money to add votes for different seats, federal, state, and local elections. You see, I did it in exchange for money. I increased the number of votes recorded and tallied for the candidate that they wanted to buy. Apparently, if you look at the remarks from the U.S. attorney, this guy was fraudulently stuffing the ballot box by literally standing in a voting booth and voting over and over as fast as he could while he thought the coast was clear. In other words, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was looking to make the money and help his Democrat colleagues. He did this in official tallies at 2014, 2015, 2016 that they know of. He's 73 years old now. He's facing 15 years in federal prison for this. Probably won't serve all of it. Might not even live that long. But voter fraud, you have to constantly be unaware of. And watching for it constantly, especially as the Democrats look for any way they can to get folks in to vote, and we don't really know who they are. That is why they are so opposed to voter ID. They do not want you to have to show a picture and say, this is who I am. They don't want that, because therefore you wouldn't be able to get somebody to go in and vote for someone different or vote repeatedly under different names. And of course, harvesting ballots, as they agreed to do in California, going around and picking up ballots in an entire 4, 5, 6 neighborhood area and say, I'll take it down and deliver it for you to the election office so you don't have to do anything. Don't you have to mail it? And who knows if all those ballots get there, depending on which candidate you probably voted for, right? This voting right, unfortunately, constitutional right, privilege, is often ignored, unfortunately, but more often also lately abused. It's frustrating to no end. I want to remind you, despite the belief that Trump will win 2020, do not fail to go to the polls. Do not fail to do so. And also keep in mind, it's not just the presidential election you need to be concerned about. You need to worry about congressional and Senate races, and of course, many in your own area. I've got a comment on Facebook that showed up today. A listener, Gary, who's often against Trump, but saying, You use the term leftist. Do a show educating your listeners to the definition of leftist, left-winger, left-wing, liberal, and moderates. I bet they would learn something. Thank you. Well, Gary, my response to him was, I think this audience is smart enough to know the difference. Maybe I need to explain to longtime Democrats why they are no longer part of the new Democrat left. That they may have a failing of understanding. Maybe they need to have that explained to them. Oh, he added something else the other day I want to include. I think it's kind of funny, and yet, you know, it makes his point. He said, here's a sign. Bakery, we refuse to serve gay people. Conservatives' response, that is their right. Bakery, we refuse to serve anyone not wearing a mask. Conservatives' view, you're violating our rights. I think it's funny. It's not fact, but that's all right. Go ahead and go with it. I never mind letting the left and the opposing parties and group have a chance to express themselves, so I appreciate it. You can post at Larry Connors USA Facebook right now and while we're on the air throughout each program. Coming up in the next hour, Joe Biden. Joe Biden with a message for black Americans. And black Americans, if you're not listening, you need to. And if you are now, you need to have other black Americans join you, because what Joe Biden has to say about you, you don't want to miss it. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.